Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 64.
Dun, dun,
64.
Dun, 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 dun.
God, I remember when we just started doing this.
Shadow on that graphic.
Yeah, that's
really
cool.
That's really impressive.
Very nice, nicely done. But you got some cool stuff to talk about tonight, I see.
Oh, you know, I got some equipment that I need to get reviewed ASAP. So I'm going to preview a few things on the show tonight.
Great. And I have a rant about some stuff that I've been trying to deal with you guys out there, in which case I'll probably lose all my business. But sometimes it's better to be right than to be, you know, than to just give in to all these things. Anyway, stay tuned. It's VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 64 right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittam, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. Yeah, remember television? You know, that sort of thing. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Well, we're here once again to talk about your home voiceover studio, or as I would like to really get you guys to get used to the idea of calling it a personal professional studio. Because I keep hearing from clients, you got a home studio, we want to talk to you. Because they think, you know, there's lingerie hanging on the doorknob, you know, all, you know, not on my studio, but of somebody's studio, or a sock or kids running around or planes going over. And, you know, it's a new world, guys. But if you do it right, those aren't really a problem. And you can sound as professional, if not more professional, than some studios I've heard out there. And
yeah, it's surprisingly how many lousy commercial studios there are.
Yeah, we won't mention any names,
of course not.
And certainly none in my neighborhood. Anyway, if you have questions, put them in the chat room. We'll be glad to answer those a little bit later on. But I also need to remind you, but this is what George Whittam and I do. We help you learn how to properly use your home voiceover studio. We get calls and emails all day long, even when we're working on other stuff, but we'll just stop and go, somebody's in trouble. And so one of the things we do is we troubleshoot. And my goodness, you wouldn't believe the things that go wrong. Somebody sent me a file today that was like, what?
Were you able to fix it? Were you able to pitch it back up again?
Well, it seemed, the file was destroyed. It was, it had been corrupted. It could have been from the transfer service. It could have been from a lot of different places, but that's what we do, professionally. And, but you know, we're not super expensive. You know, the other problem, I think, and we could probably talk about this a bit more, is that nobody is teaching this stuff when you go to voiceover school or go to an academy or go to some coach. They don't know this stuff from, you know, from a hole in the ground. And we hear it day after day after day. Well, they didn't tell me about this. So I don't understand about setting levels. So how do I do this? Our job is for you to be able to be a voice actor, not an engineer. It's not required of you to really be an engineer. What you want to be able to do is set yourself up properly. So all you have to do is hit record and sound like you. You're not trying to enhance your voice. You're not trying to make yourself sound like something you're not. You're just trying to sound. The idea of a home voiceover studio or a personal professional studio is not to sound amazing. If you're a good voice actor, you already sound amazing. The idea is to make it sound like you as you exist. And that's what George and I do. We try to make sure that that's what you'd have to do. Make it super duper simple. Now, if you'd like to work with Mr. Whittem, who is a top professional, and we've got some, got a big webinar coming up this week too, where would they go?
Yes, sir. Good call on that plug. you can head over to georgethe.tech. And if you are interested in the webinar coming up that Dan is actually going to be guesting on, called, it's an Adobe Audition webinar, VO for VO Pro Tips. And it's just stuff that you don't hear every day, the stuff that's going to make it your production process of recording and sending out files, especially getting into more elaborate projects, much more efficient. So you'll be learning from my knowledge and Dan's knowledge combined. It's going to be huge. And it's on October 5th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. You can sign up at georgethe.tech/webinars. Jump in there.
Yeah, I know I'm jumping in there. Ought to be a lot of fun. I use Adobe Audition every day. You know,
that's
day
your
in and day
out. DAW these days, right?
Like for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't try to overuse it. Some people are like, oh, I got all this stuff now. And it's like, it's a cassette recorder. Stop, play, record, rewind. You know, only you can see it and hear it as you're doing things. So it's just a little bit more sophisticated, but you don't want to overthink it. If you'd like to come work with me, because I'm a heck of a lot of fun to work with, just ask anybody who ever has, you can go on over to homevoiceoverstudio.com and check out the services that I offer. One of the things I have, and it's always wonderful to hear what everybody's doing out there. I have my specimen collection cup. For $25, you can submit your audio. I want it raw. I don't want it processed. I want to hear what your studio sounds like with you in it. And I will analyze your audio and we'll make sure that it sounds the way it's supposed to sound, or what it's supposed to sound like. Whistle. So go on over to homevoiceoverstudio.com and we'll set you up there. So, and now we can carry on with the most successful unrehearsed show in television. It's time for George's tech update.
I wanted to show you guys some new gear that I got in the studio. The Vanguard Gen 2. This is the Vanguard V4 Gen 2. This mic was actually sent to me specifically for just as a review unit. I have to send it back in a few days, so I'll be getting a proper review out shortly. But this microphone is an update to its prior generation, the V4. And I had a lucky opportunity over the weekend to record and take pictures of both mics together because I happen to be at Rick Wasserman's studio where he has the original V4. And the things that stand out immediately are the physical size. This is a physically larger mic than the original V4. Why? I don't know, but it is. My theory is that maybe the V13, the tube microphone they sell, is based on the same chassis, and they just wanted to be simplify things in manufacturing, just have one microphone chassis for both mics. That's my theory, why it's larger than the old one. So consequently, it's a little bit larger, it's a little bit heavier. The other thing that was immediately noticeably different is they changed the types of connections that are physically on the microphone. So they chose to get rid of, let me see if I can do this without creating a total disaster. But then again, that's been the kind of the theme of the show tonight. Apollo 13 style. Come around the very back because I can't talk into the mic and show it to you. There we go. Now you can see these switches were here last time. You had a cardioid, figure eight, and omni switch. But what is different now is there is a pad switch with two positions, zero, no pad, minus 10, and minus 20. And those are the only two switches on the mic. There is no longer a switch to engage a low cut switch. So you cannot turn off the low cut, or you cannot engage a low cut and remove rumble, which I find unfortunate. I found that was like a really important feature of the prior mic because so many folks have these ruler flat, super sensitive, large diaphragm condenser mics. Neumann TLM 103 users, you know what I'm talking about. And to be able to have that preemptively filtered out before you even sit down and edit, or if you connect to Source Connect and they're listening to your studio, warts and all, rumble and all in their studio, it sure is nice to get rid of that before it even makes it down the line. So I wish they didn't take that out. Now, in terms of sound quality comparisons, I do have a recording of Rick in his studio with both mics back to back. That'll be part of my review, so stay tuned to that on my George the Tech YouTube channel where you'll get to compare them. So stay tuned. Anyway, so that's the V4 Gen 2. I've also gotten to... I was broken into a couple weeks ago. Bicycles, several were stolen. My car was broken into inside my garage. I lost my Apple AirPod Pros. I was obviously upset about losing a lot of gear, but instead of just running out and buying another pair of Apple AirPod Pros, I decided to try something totally different. Thanks to my friend Juan Bagnell. He's got his own tech review channel. He's been on our show. Remember having Juan in?
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a great tech review thing that he does. Anyway, he's been reviewing a lot of stuff from One More, so I decided to try the One More ComfoBud Pro.
What a great name.
That's what it's called, ComfoBud. Now, I know about this company from way back because I was incredibly impressed with their little in-ear monitors. I mean, they're earbuds, but they're better than typical earbuds. These have triple drivers inside, like three drivers per earbud, and they sounded really good. But these days, I have an iPhone, and you can't plug the damn thing without an adapter, and it's really annoying. And I'm in the car a lot making phone calls. So the AirPod Pros were good, but for $250, they weren't great. The sound quality was mediocre. Now, what I love about these is the sound quality is dramatically better, I think. And it comes with 22 EQ presets that the app uses, so you can go through them all. It takes a while to listen and just change settings, but I found a setting that it was so pleasing, natural, and clear. I'm incredibly impressed. And it's loading that preset into the bud itself. It's not some weird thing where you have to run an app. So if you're looking for something that has true-to-life sound that you can set up for your hearing, in other words, you can make it brighter by choosing different presets, these are really darn impressive. Here's what they look like inside their little house. They charge inside the case. The other thing that makes them tromp all over the iPod Pros is battery life. You can't even make a transcontinental flight on the AirPod Pros and have the battery not go dead. These can last a trip there and I think almost back again. So like 10 hours. So anyway, very impressed with these, and these are going to be keepers. I tried several different sets from One More, different kinds. These are the ones that I was really impressed with. About $110, something like that.
Not bad.
Yeah, like less than half of a pair of the AirPod Pros. Moving on, I don't know about you, but I'm very anxiously awaiting Apple's new Macs to come out, the new MacBook Pros they've been talking about for a long time. It's been in the rumor mills forever. Hurry up, will you? They're saying could be October.
I want one.
Might be November. I'm very, very, very much happy with the two Mac M1 machines that I do own. I have the M1 Mac Mini. Now, it's not without issues, but I can't blame everything on the Mac M1 because I'm using a lot of outboard stuff with it. I'm using a Thunderbolt dock that's probably 3 to 4 years old, and I'm using a USB hub. And I just know from experience that the more external hubs and splitters you have, the more chances there are for things to go wonky. So while I've had my share of little weird things happening, I'm not going to blame it on my M1 yet, because some of this gear, too many things daisy chain, things get weird. But anyway, performance of the computer has been stellar, and I want to be able to give this MacBook Air that I've been using a lot more than my girlfriend. This is supposed to be her computer. I want to give this back to her, and I'm looking forward to the new MacBook Pro 14-inch. That's the one I think that's going to be the right fit for what I want to do.
What do you think the price point's going to be on that?
It's going to be a little expensive, because the 13-inch MacBook Pro is their entry level, and that one's like $1,299. So it's probably going to be $1,600, $1,700, is my guess. Not cheap. But hopefully, it's a tax write-off, and hopefully it will last.
Good point.
It'll last as long as the other Mac products that I've owned, because they've all had incredibly long lives.
Yeah. Like this 2014 that we...
Yeah, I need to replace a 2019 MacBook Pro 13-inch that I own, not because it's a bad computer, but now that I've had the new M1 Air,
you're spoiled, right?
Spoiled, because the battery life's insane. It never gets hot. You can edit and work on your lap, literally like a laptop was designed to use
without
burning
burns.
Your skin. There's a lot of pros. I mean, it really is quite remarkable. I also was going to try to get in a little first look for you guys tonight, but I was having technical issues with my system again, getting this Revelator to be able to operate and do everything at the same time. But I stay tuned again. I will get a proper review of this. This is the Personas Revelator IO 24. And what makes me excited about it is it makes me tell people, you don't need this thing anymore. You don't need this. Like, most of you don't need it anyway. Let's just be honest. You don't need an Apollo. But this thing, for a third of the price, it's physically very close and same in size, like really similar in size. It's actually lighter weight. $200, USB-C actually. And it has onboard processing that you can control and set up presets. And why that matters is the most useful thing, completely honestly, and I know I'm obsessed about it, is high pass filtering. Even if you don't use any of the processing on this thing, it has a variable high pass filter. So you can dial it in for your noise floor characteristics. And I think that's huge. It's hard. It can be programmed into the unit as a preset. They do have a control panel that is very flexible and powerful and maybe a little too complicated for some people to get. But once it's been preset, you can set up preset buttons on here that let you choose different settings. So you could have one that's like totally bypass everything, flat, flat, flat. And you could have another one, this button over here, have like a high pass filter, maybe a touch of expander, maybe a little bit of compression. Little sweetening things that you might like to do. And again, $200, we'll see. I want Personas to impress me with this, because they've let me down on with other stuff over the years. And so far, I'm pretty excited about the potential of what this thing can do. So
now I want to try it.
Well, when I've gotten my hands on it enough to get a proper review out of it, I'm happy to bring it up to the studio and you can put it through its mill. But I bought that one directly from Westlake Pro through my rep. I was like, Personas ain't going to send me one, so I'm going to have to buy it.
Darn.
So anyway, I'm very impressed with it, and I think it's going to be a really cool tool. Again, the other thing that's really cool about it is the sound driver capabilities. So when it's in multi-mode, it creates multiple output drivers, so you can send audio to and from different applications, all wired into the system. So in its little mixer, I can have one fader be your DAW for playing back. I can have another fader be Zoom for just Zoom audio or whatever, and a third fader for something else. And you just tell each application, now you go to virtual channel B and you go to virtual channel A. It sounds a little complicated describing it, but it is the easiest setup I've ever seen for that level of features. Rodecast Pro doesn't do it that way. Not nearly as simple, and it's not as flexible. And the Apollo, while it's flexible, is mind-numbingly frustrating to set up unless you've learned how to hack that thing. That requires no hacks. It's just built in. It's really, really, really smart. Anyway, my very, very last thing before we get to our little home source studio rant, which I love to do with Dan, just a little tip. If you've got a sudden scratchy speaker or a suddenly scratchy recording level going from one piece of gear to another and you're not sure what's going on, or maybe you've just moved studios or changed your furniture, now all of a sudden one speaker is cutting out, it's probably because you have dirty contacts. And it's almost always quarter-inch connections, like these guys, that have the problem. And it's a super, super easy solution, and that is simply exercising, not exorcising.
Or exorcising.
Well, yeah, that's actually in the end what you really want to do. But it's exercising your connections like this. Put the two connections together and twist. That's it. Exercise your connections, everybody. Let's all do it. Everybody, exercise your connections. And that burnishes or wears away any corrosion that would have formed on these connectors. That's the weak spot of quarter-inch and eighth-inch jacks. The contact is a very, very tiny point where it touches the metal, and it can get scratchy. So just twist it around. Problem solved. Can't tell you how often I get paid to do that. It's entirely too much money. So anyway, there's my little tip for you before we go on. All right, let's get to that crowdsourced home studio.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm getting samples from people every day. And then, specimens. Of course, part of the specimen collection cup. And I ask people, well, what are you using? And this long list of stuff comes out. You know, an Apollo Twin. It was an Epigee Duet, but he was feeding it with a DBX 286A,
yes,
and some other channel strips and a pile of other things, and the stuff was like not overmodulated. It was heavily compressed, and if he was doing like, you know, Sunday, be there.
Sounded like no matter what he was doing, he was yelling at you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Where did you get all this stuff from, and why are you using it? And I must have really insulted him because he didn't write back. But that's usually the question I ask. Is, you know, personally, I think there's some people out there that are deliberately sending people down the wrong track. George and I rant about this all the time. Do not crowdsource your home voiceover studio or your personal professional studio to whatever you choose, because everybody's an expert in one studio, their own. And if they say, well, this works great for me, that doesn't mean anything because you don't have the experience with that. And it's generally not this high-end stuff that they're recommending that makes you a better voice actor. I'm always talking about how, you know, well, should I get a Neumann TLM-103 or should I get like a U87? It's not going to change the way you read copy. It's not going to change anything in your brain. People say, well, I'll feel more confident. But if you're unconfident with a good mic that makes you sound fine, then the issue is not with the microphone. People are trying to enhance their voices and they're trying to do all sorts of stuff. The only thing you are required to do as a voice actor with a home voiceover studio or personal professional studio, a PPS. And now that's now I got a new acronym, PPS, personal professional studio.
That works.
It's like DAW and your PPS.
Mm-hmm.
Now it just sounds weird. But anyway, what you want to be able to do is keep things as simple as possible. I mean, this guy was using a DBX 286A as his power supply for his mic.
Right. I thought he needed that for phantom power, probably.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It's only a $300 phantom power thing, but you know, right. You got to understand that any interface is going to have phantom power on it. And so you don't need all that. What does the interface do? It takes your analog signal from your microphone, amplifies it, and then turns it into the ones and zeros that your computer can understand and turn into the graphic representation of the audio that we see in our digital audio workstations. And to think beyond that is not to your benefit. Keep it simple. Sound the way you sound in a conversation with somebody. It has to do with the acoustics of the room you're in, how you use your microphone. Do you use proper mic technique with it? You'll notice I can go Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers for the entire show, and you're not going to hear a plosive. Why is that? Because I use proper mic technique. And the last thing is setting proper levels, which George and I rant about all the time because people don't understand it. And voiceover coaches don't teach it. So I'm getting a little upset with everybody saying, I got all this great equipment. Great equipment means nothing unless you're a good voice actor. And so stop buying all this stuff. You know, I already had a discussion with the people at the Sweetened Water place and said, would you guys stop telling people to buy SM7Bs? And
me too.
You know, I mean, you think they would listen to it? You think they would hire us as consultants? No, you're preventing us from selling expensive stuff.
Yeah, they would rather sell an SM7 and a cloud lifter for $500-$600.
Exactly.
Than a proper mic that would actually sound good and be easier to use for $400 or $300.
Right, like this Harlan Hogan VO1A mic that I've been using, you know, religiously on our show here for years and years and years. And it makes me sound like me, which is why Harlan makes it. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have to run his spot this hour. Anyway, that's my rant. Any addendum comments, George?
No, I just know that people do spend an inordinate amount of time in forums and chats and bulletin boards asking a lot of the same questions over and over again, getting sometimes they get randomly wrong answers. Sometimes they get right answers mixed in with the wrong answers. Sometimes they get answers that are just regurgitations of what they've heard from others.
Right.
A lot of times, and sometimes they're just our own information that's been regurgitated back to them. But so it's very difficult for people to vet the information they're getting back from the others. And that's what makes, I think, crowdsourcing tech stuff so inefficient.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a certain level of proficiency of technology, you know what questions to ask and what the context for, you know the constraints. Like, you know that I'm using this equipment, I'm using this situation, and in this particular scenario, this thing is happening. Is anybody else experiencing it with the same stuff? Those are questions I ask in groups.
Right.
But the more general questions, or is this microphone any good? Or how do I make this closet sound not like a closet? Those questions are you're going to get such a varied amount of information that's oftentimes conflicting or over a wide range of budgets. And it's just a huge waste of time.
So the bottom line,
money for the right support.
The bottom line is you can't spend your way to a great home voiceover studio. You have to know how to do it. It's not the equipment. It's how you use it. And that's why we're here, to teach you this stuff, because we know, because we've been doing it a long time and we know what's going to make you sound your best. Anyway, we got a bunch of questions to answer, and we want to get to those, but we also want to get to some messages from our wonderful sponsors, so stay tuned. George and I will be right back with your questions right after this on Tech Talk.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
They're finally here. VoiceOver Essentials has finally received their shipment of the PortaBooth Pro 6.0. Like every business, they had long shipping delays to contend with. But those PortaBooth Pros are in their warehouse now and shipping out rapidly. They made, as usual, a number of improvements to the new booth, including more reliance on renewable infrastructure material like bamboo. They redesigned the cross-bracing Velcro front tabs for an even more rigid assembled booth and introduced their new Clip Script light. Now there are two LED flexible lights with two brightness levels for more or less light on your VO copy. And for the first time, you can power the script clip with batteries or USB. Of course, they continue their exclusive use of world-renowned Orlex studio foam, used by major recording studios everywhere. The Harlan Hogan PortaBooth Pro 6.0, powered by Orlex. If you've been waiting, get over to voiceoveressentials.com and get your PortaBooth Pro 6.0 now.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. What you made me do. Power 103.9.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable. Pants for the customer in aisle four, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
All right, it's time to talk about Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, Source Live, and Source Nexus. Tons of stuff. Source Nexus, maybe you haven't heard me talk about that much, but what that does is allows you to make any software source or audio source on your computer become essentially an input into a recording software, DAW, like Pro Tools, Logic, Adobe Audition, Studio One, Reaper. Those are the top five I can think of in the world of voiceover. And you can take another source and have that be come back in to your DAW. And with the Nexus Pro version, you can create as many of these sound drivers as you want to send audio elsewhere. So you could also have audio go from your DAW into Source Connect. So if you want to be able to get tricky and have some processing without going to buy some new mics or new gear, and you want to get away with it and use a little bit of processing on the input side, Nexus is something that allows you to do that. And it lets you work with many different applications and allows this kind of universal connectivity between these different systems. That works on Mac only at this time. But the main thing they're known for is Source Connect, and that allows you to connect to studios around the world from your studio, and it is definitely an industry standard. I can very safely say that that has been the case, especially since the pandemic. So if you want to get up and running with that and learn how to use it, get a trial first. It's free. Source-elements.com. Sign up, get your account started. If you need some extra help, there are some resources available on their site. Of course, they've got good training. And I also offer some over at georgethe.tech/SC if you need additional help. There's some videos and different ways I can assist you. But appreciate Source Elements and thank them for their support of our show for, gosh, 5+ years running. And let's get to those tech questions. Let's do it.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
And we're back.
Yay.
On VoiceOver Body Shop. We've got lots of questions to deal with. And I think people are catching on to what we're saying. Hopefully.
They're picking up what we're putting down? Is that what you're saying, man?
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out. First question from Richard Green. George, a few episodes back, you were talking about building some window plugs. I would love to see what you came up with. Maybe a video or a photo piece in a future episode. And two, what do you know about Sonar Works? Would you recommend it for someone who has a new personal professional recording studio and wants to sound good? Because that's what is good. And three, any thoughts on UADs, Luna, or Reaper?
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Okay. No, I'm laughing, Richard, because you're calling me out because I said I was going to do just that and put inserts into my windows and kind of DIY them. Yeah, I didn't do it.
I haven't gotten to it yet. Yeah.
I've been cheating. I've been getting away with, hopefully, without you guys noticing, a lot of processing on my mic and expander, gate, blah, 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 trying to mask the amount of background noise I have. And I've been successful enough that I haven't gotten to that project. But I have the wood frames that I've got. I got the weather stripping seal kits or seal stuff from Home Depot. I've already spent probably $70 on materials. So it's high time. So thanks for reminding me, Richard. And I got to do it. You know, I have an excuse. I did place an order for the plexiglass from a local vendor, and they flaked on me. So I was like, all right, I guess that was an omen not to bother. So it's time to put that order in again.
Supply chain issues.
So there you go. That's the short version. I had supply chain issues, Richard. There you go. SonarWorks, you know, it's funny you mentioned them. We actually interviewed the developer of that way back when on our show. Probably was EWABS. If you type in EWABS SonarWorks, you might find it on YouTube. That guy's companies, they're killing it now. I mean, they're constantly evolving. But basically what it is it's a way to modify your monitoring to sound either more accurate or more like some other type of monitoring. Like if you want your headphones to sound like other headphones, or if you want your speakers to sound more accurate, that's what SonarWorks does. Now, tying all this together, they actually have a licensing deal with one more, the makers of these. But it's not this product that has it. They have a newer version called the Color Buds, which I also bought to test. And the Color Buds actually uses SonarWorks' technology to tune the way they sound. And it does like an eye test. But for hearing, it's actually really clever. I mean, I was so tempted to keep the Color Buds but they just didn't sound quite as good as these, so I went with these. But it actually had, say, it would play music that you could choose from a database in the system, whatever style, and it would play a phrase of that music on a loop, and it would say, which do you think sounds better, A or B? And it would go through this test with about 10 different options, A or B, A or B. And then when you got to the end, that was your new hearing profile, and it would set up the EQ that way. It's brilliant, actually. And the technology in the system that's embedded using it, that's embedded, is SonarWorks. So that was just so funny that you brought that up. Really cool.
Cool.
And lastly, would you recommend for someone personal, I would definitely not recommend playing with SonarWorks to someone new to this. That is for someone who's like an audio mixing producer, engineer person. Definitely not for someone who's new. And Luna, I don't know anything about it other than I've tried it once. It's maybe gotten a lot better, but super not appropriate, really, in my opinion, for voiceover. It's another multi-track recording DAW like Logic and Pro Tools. And if that's your thing, go for it, but definitely not appropriate. And then Reaper, I also kind of feel the same way, but if you do have a trainer that sets you up in Reaper that really knows their stuff, like our friend Mike Delgaudio, the Booth Junkie, then give it a try. If you follow his setup guidance, Steve Cunningham is another fellow I know. I hope I said that right. If I said your name wrong, Steve, I apologize.
Steve Cunningham, yeah.
If you work with people that know James Romick, that really know Reaper, you're okay. Otherwise, it's a disaster. Stay away from Reaper. You got to work with it. Just like the Apollo, you really need to work with a pro that knows how to set it up. Reaper is the same exact way. But once it's set up, it's pretty good. Okay. Next question.
All right. Pilar Uribe says, hey. Had the cable from the mic to my interface causing a lot of crackling, so I replaced it. It's a lot quieter now, but I still hear something when I move the cable to the side. Is there something else I need to check in the chain? Well, that's one of those, jiggle it and see what, it's like jiggling the handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, is it leaking? You've got to play with it. If you hear it when you play with the, you know, with the,
which end? The microphone end or the
interface end?
Yeah, which end is it that you're having the static? Because that also has, could be the mic. I was working with Rick Wasserman again over the weekend. I noticed that his headphone or the microphone, when I was switching mics, when I plugged in his 416, it was a little staticky. And when he wiggled it, and on those mics, there's the very last part of the mic. This is a NTG5, but this part is held on to the mic. The jack, I guess you'd call it,
mm-hmm.
is held on with a little set screw, right?
It comes loose.
That's loose.
You lose your
grounding. You wiggle this thing, it's static city. So could be at the microphone too.
Yeah. We had that problem last week on the show and we placed the cable in the middle. And then I went out and bought new cable.
You know what? My cables, they are, you know, they are one of those things that if you spend, you know, $30 to $40 for one cable from like Mogami or one of those bigger companies, it should last. Those connections should not get scratchy at the connector. It's usually the microphone connector itself that I think can get a little flaky.
Alrighty. Want to get this one from J. Horace Black?
Sure. He has a question. I mentioned I was talking about the new little ComfoBuds Pro. He says, how's the noise canceling? The noise canceling is insane. That is something that One More really does an incredible job on. In fact, each one of these things has four microphones embedded in it. It's unbelievable. There's four mics, and that they're using that to improve call quality and improve the ANC or the noise canceling. And it is insane, like really, really good, like freakishly strange. It's so effective. And they have wind reduction canceling as well. So if you've used these kinds of things and it's a windy environment, you can actually hear the wind being picked up by the microphones, and then you hear it in your ears, which isn't good. So it has noise canceling for wind noise. That's also available. So I am really impressed with it. In terms of call quality, I haven't had much of a chance to make a lot of phone calls with them yet. I did call my girlfriend once. She said I sounded fine. But I haven't had a chance to do like a shootout because my AirPod Pros are gone. So I can't really say. But so far, my limited tests say it worked fine. And ComfoBuds Pro. These are like a limited edition version. So if you're shopping, look for the blue ones because these have that extra special preset mode where you can choose from different sound profiles. But to my ears, even without any farting. Ooh, did I say the wrong word? Yeah, I did. Oh, who cares? It's no kids watching.
It's the
show,
internet. Right? Who cares?
It's the internet. Without a lot of messing around, futzing around, you don't have to. Even the flat mode on this thing sounded to me very good. Like not harsh, not, you know, tinny. A really, really nice sound.
All righty. Let's see here. Larry G from YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Already invested in the H5 recorder. That's the Zoom, I assume, with a Cat E100S. Problem is de-essing because I wear full dental appliances. Stick with the abbreviation or get a Focusrite Scarlett, get a monitor and do some auto de-essing with Reaper. I'm not a big fan of de-essing unless somebody's like really got, you know, if you have a real lisp problem or a real sibilance problem, that's a physical thing. If you want to try and play with it with, you know, my opinion is you don't want to start playing with filters to alter things because if you don't set it right, it's not going to help.
It almost always sounds worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, the H5 itself is pretty good for recording and a Cat E100S. Great microphone, very quiet.
Yeah. You still have one of those, Dan?
I still have one sitting in its little coffin waiting for Halloween to pop out again and come out. I mean, I have it. I've used it on occasion. It's a great sounding mic. I did find that when you use the high pass filter on it, though, when you
it was noisier, right?
It would make the microphone noisier, and I've noticed that with most E100s, so like all of them because they're all the same. But that combination in itself should work just fine. But like, if you're wearing a dental appliance, you know, maybe a little bit more specific information would help. Like, are you wearing a retainer? Perhaps you could take it out while you're recording, or if you're using it to, you know, for sleep apnea, perhaps you shouldn't be recording while you're sleeping. I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just like wondering what kind of a dental appliance we're talking about. If you have braces,
there's so much to unpack there in terms of the types of noise. Is it a hiss, a whistle, a mid-range sound? There's a lot going on there, and without hearing the audio, we're just guessing.
Right. Now, here's the question I've been waiting for since it just popped up from Tim Kelly, because it goes back to the exact thing we were just talking about 15 minutes ago. Hi, guys. My DBX 286A has a low physical hum coming from the case. It's not affecting the audio, only if the mic picks it up. Any ideas? Try different wall socket circuits and try different power leads. Here's the answer. Don't use it.
Unplug it.
Use it as a doorstop.
It's awful quiet when it's not plugged in.
Yeah, it really is. Why are you using a Tube 86A? Who on earth told you to use that? Whoever it is doesn't understand voiceover audio. DBX-286A was not designed for voiceover or voiceover recording. It was designed really for live broadcast to maximize the signal. We don't talk to other human beings through DBX-286As. And therefore, it is going to create a wholly, I would call it an unnatural sound.
A broadcasty sound.
Exactly. And guess what? When you're doing voiceover, you're not on the radio. And the reason it sounds like it does on the radio is because what they do at the radio station, not what you do in your studio.
Yeah.
So.
He's got the 286S, which is, the later version of it. Mm-hmm. They're very inexpensive, you know, and there's a lot of circuitry in there. So power supply is probably going bad, you know, is my guess. And again, what it costs, probably not worth getting fixed. And I would bypass it. I've told a lot of folks to bypass those things and their setups. And most of the time, it sounds better without it.
Right. They're always saying, like, why? Wow, it sounds amazing. Why? Because you didn't know what you were doing with it until you shouldn't have had it in the first place. Mm. We just love to pull wires out of people's places.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
Big wad of cables.
Yeah. You want to get Richard Green's question? I think we have time for one or two more here.
Sure. Whirlwind makes great mic cables. They sure do. And they come with a lifetime guarantee. That's also a good sign. If you're buying cables that have a lifetime guarantee, probably a good cable. If the cord starts to make noise, send it back and you'll get a new one for free. So yeah, that's another thing to look for are lifetime warranties on your cables. Jeff, our very own, chat room mod, who's back from his Hollywooding. Guy's been killing it on TV.
Can't wait to see him.
Dan, who do you recommend for commercial voiceover coaching? Do you coach?
Do I coach? Not in the way everybody else does. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually when people are talking to me about their home voiceover studio and I'm helping them with their equipment, it's a matter of how you're using it. And a lot of people over project. And I will generally do a lot of physical coaching on how to physically, you know, present yourself to a microphone.
Controlling your voice, right?
Right, vocal exactly.
Because you're a singer too, so you have a singing background.
Don't tell my wife that. You know, they keep wanting me in the choir. No, I can't read music that well, so don't put me in. But I, you know, I've done musical theater, but that's mm-hmm. a whole other deal. But coaches, you know, I could mention a bunch of people and then someone will say, well, you forgot me. But, you know, one of the top people here in town, we've had him on our show a bunch of times, is Dave Walsh, who's just a great coach and a really wonderful guy. And, he understands what it takes to make yourself sound real and truthful, which I think is really important.
True tell
method. Yeah, absolutely.
And whoever it is, you got to spend at least one full session with them, working with them, and know if you gel.
Right.
It's literally like dating. You have to just go on a date. You know, you have to do a coaching date.
Exactly.
You don't know. You can, anybody could be recommended to you and it's not.
You got to try it. Yeah. It's like trying to find an agent. Who's going to work with you? Who gets you? That sort of thing. Your buddy Rick Wasserman's really good.
Yeah. Bookable.com.
VO.com. So. You know, if somebody is really just getting going, I might refer them to Mark Cashman. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can work your way up. You can work with a lot of different coaches. I mean, I've Debbie Derryberry is fabulous for doing animation coaching.
Characters, Lori Allen does characters too.
So there's a lot of great people out there. But if you really want to understand good commercial voiceover, I think Dave Walsh is one of the best. So, you know,
there you go.
I'm waiting for the check in the mail,
we're
Dave.
Waiting, and we're waiting for all the emails. What about us?
What about this guy? What about that guy? I like this person. That's fine.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's the great thing about what you and I do, though, is we know everybody. And if we don't know them, we're like, well, that's because they're not here. You know, don't hear about a lot of coaches back in New York or back east in Boston or one of those places. But, you know, most of the good ones are here in L.A. But I know there's got to be some good ones out there who are, you know.
They're all over the place. I hear all the time someone's like, I work with so-and-so in my city. And I'm like, great. How's it going? Are you booking? Do you feel like you're being supported? You know, I may not know the name of that coach. Doesn't mean I can't recommend them. I'm real careful to recommend coaches because I'm not a voice actor. So I don't get hired and work with voiceover coaches, you know.
Right.
So I don't want to recommend somebody I haven't worked with as a coach. I'm really careful about that.
Right. You know, and there's a few others out there as well. So, you know, like check it out. You know, the best thing to do is to do your due diligence. Who are their clients? Who are their successful clients? Are they just, you know, are they dragging people through the voiceover mill? And ask for referrals. Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty. Well, that's all the questions we have for tonight.
I mean referrals. Sorry, I'm correcting myself. References. Referrals and as for references. For sure.
Okay. And referrals. Or references. All right. It's time to refer to our next break, and then George and I will wrap things up for this week.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Getting into VO is quite an accomplishment, and accomplishing anything in the world of performance can be really tough. Getting great information is tough. Getting the right advice and mentoring is tough. Simply getting ahead is tough. And the best way to get ahead is to simply get started. Let's make it simple. To get started in voiceover, the best way is with VO Hero's free online course, Getting Started in VoiceOver. You'll learn everything you need to know to create a successful, satisfying, and profitable voiceover career. The link is really simple. Here it is. voheroes.com/start. Again, that's voheroes.com/start. Get ahead in voiceover simply by getting started. Go to voheroes.com/start.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The VoiceOver Body Shop.
All right, we're back. And who's coming up next week? I'm not exactly sure. I am talking with a bunch of different people. We're trying to negotiate them all. Get them all in here. You know, if you have somebody you'd like to see on the show hear what they have to say, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. There is the address right there. Say, hey, what about this person? What about that person? I mean, I know a lot of people, but if there's someone specifically you'd like to hear and see, let us know. We'd love to have them on.
Even if they've been on the show before. We've had, we've doing this a really long time, and we love to welcome back guests that you may have liked from the past. So
absolutely. Let us know. Absolutely. Let's see. George, you need a new tech assistant and customer service helper.
I'm actually starting interviews now. If you want to throw your hat into the ring, if you have some open 10 to 20 hours a week of flexible time, you'd like to supplement your income, and you're good on the phone, good written correspondence, maybe you have a little bit of computer savviness and social media expertise. You know, the better you are and the more versatile you are, the rate could go up. So anyway, do reach out to me. Let me know, george@georgethe.tech.
All righty. Let's see here. We need to thank our donors of the week. Let's alternate. Let's start with Jill Goldman, a new
Rob Ryder
subscriber. Yes. Patty Gibbons.
Antland Productions.
Michelle Blanker.
Christopher Epperson.
Sandra Manwiller.
Philip Sapir.
Trey Mosley.
Thomas Pinto.
Greg Thomas.
Shauna Pennington Baird.
Martha Kahn.
Don Griffith.
Stephen Chandler.
Robert Leadham.
Michael Kearns. And
Graham Spicer.
All right. Thank you all. You know, you can donate to the show too. It helps us keep it technically amazing. There's a donate now button on our website, VOBS.TV. Just click on that and you can set up a subscription or a one-time donation or whatever. Just let us know you like what we're doing. And that's
whatever
the most important thing. Absolutely. Of course, if you want to work with George, where do you go?
You go over to georgelee.tech. And if you want to work with Dan, you head over to
homevoiceoverstudio.com. There it is right there. Can't wait to hear from all of you. We need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements, makers of Source Connect.
Yes, voheroes.com.
Voice actor websites. And
JMC Demos.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Holman tonight in the chat room getting all those questions to us. And, of course, the one and only Sue Merlino for getting all the buttons pushed in the right place and making us look fabulous, which isn't really hard to do, but, you know. Anyway, and of course, Lee Pinney for simply being Lee Pinney. We appreciate it.
Can you fix this tooth?
Yeah, let's see. A little bit of this. Okay. All righty. That's going to do it for us this week. You know, voiceover is not an easy business. And trying to get yourself to sound the way you're supposed to sound is not easy. But we put it down to this. If it sounds good.
It is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO. BS. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Not a TED Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. See you next week.
Bye-bye.